What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
98.5, that was All Saints Never Ever. Good to be with you on this Thursday morning, and a very good morning and welcome to the studio, our regular guest Graeme Irvine from Kingsway Christian College.
Hey mate, it feels like the middle of the afternoon because I'm normally here a little earlier.
Sort of getting your bearings okay.
I'm all right, yeah. Well, the sun's not up, so I don't know what bearings I can possibly get.
Actually, it's looking a bit dark out there.
It's a bit drizzly out there.
Now, would you be surfing today if the surf was good and it was raining?
Oh yeah.
Of course. Silly question.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. It isn't, and it is.
It's good to have you in, Graeme.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Wearing your one beautiful bright tie, which has got surfboards covered over it.
It has.
It's very colourful.
Some seagulls.
Some surfboards and seagulls.
That's it.
You love the ocean.
I do, indeed.
It's good.
Yeah.
Keeps your mind clear. And, of course, it is Are You OK Day today.
That's right. It is. Yes.
So,
are you?
I am well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. No props.
Now, when you were in a few weeks ago, we were talking about all of the different parenting styles.
We were,
That's a great conversation.
It is.
Love that.
We might pick that up again next term, I think.
Definitely. But today, heading off to a different...
I guess I wanted to talk a little bit about resilience, and it probably comes out of a couple of conversations I've had over the last couple of weeks. So, I had a parent contact me who was concerned that their child had experienced some distress in one of the child's classes over something, a topic that was spoken about and some video clips that were shown, right? And they wanted to know that was it okay if this child was allowed to leave the class?
Right. Okay.
And I said, no.
That's it. Just a straight no.
Yeah, well, I did give a reason.
Yeah.
And the reason is around the idea of resilience. So resilience is certainly a part of this whole area of anxiety and so on that we've spoken about. And I guess the best way to illustrate it is to say resilience is exactly like a mental muscle. And you and I both know if you don't use the muscles, they deteriorate.
They do.
Right? But if you use them, and in fact, you have what's called resilience or resilience training, where you force the muscles to go past where they were before, and that actually builds them up.
It's good.
And one of the big things that is happening in parenting these days, and somebody gave me a great term, which I hadn't heard before.
Okay.
They said, have you heard of lawnmower parenting?
No.
Have you come across
that? No, I haven't.
Okay. So this was a new one for me as well.
Loving
right?
it.
So Gay and I will often talk about helicopter parenting.
Heard that.
Okay. So the parent, looks over and makes sure that nothing's going to go wrong. Well, lawnmower parenting is where the parent takes the lawnmower and mows the grass in front of where the child is going to walk so that they don't have to walk on anything prickly or they don't get caught up in any weeds or get the metaphor.
Absolutely.
And I thought, that is fantastic. And of course, what that does is it does not allow a child to build up resilience. So every time you and I, every time a human being is forced to deal with a distressing situation, it is an opportunity to build resilience into that human being.
Sure.
Think about a young child, right? What does every single young child have to go through in order to learn to walk? Well, they have to go through falling over.
Absolutely falling over. That's right.
Now, you imagine... Yeah. If we didn't, as parents, encourage them to have resilience, none of us would learn to walk.
That's right.
Because it's actually quite a scary thing.
Yeah.
You stand up, you fall flat in your face.
you get back up again.
That's
it. You try again.
That's exactly right. Right? So, now, within that, there's an internal motivation to go, I want to be able to move. But imagine if we didn't allow our children to have those falling over experiences. Those little... carts that we used to get for our toddlers, before they could walk, they could sit in it and they had wheels.
Yes. The walkers.
The walkers, yes, that's it. That's the word. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, right. Now imagine if, as parents, we thought it would be okay for our child to always use one of those. Because that'll stop them from bumping into things. That'll stop them from falling over.
Protect them.
That will protect them. That will keep them safe is a term that I'm hearing more and more, right? Well, we look at that and we would just laugh.
We would.
And go, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We want our child to learn to walk. So why is it that down the track, once they've learnt to walk, we want to put them back in a walker? Experientially, right? We don't want anything untoward to happen to them. We don't want them to be distressed. And the research is unequivocal. If we parent like that, we actually do not build resilience into our children. And those children with less resilience are the children most likely to suffer from anxiety and depression.
Fascinating research. It's all about bouncing back.
It is.
And getting back. We'll take a break, Graham. We'll come back and chat some more. We are talking about resilience this morning with Graham Irvine from Kingsway Christian College. Back after this one. This is Weekdays with Mike. Graham Irvine is with me from Kingsway Christian College. We've been chatting about a great conversation about resilience and building resilience. You mentioned a great terminology I hadn't heard of before. We know about helicopter parents.
Yeah.
Now, this new terminology, lawnmower parents.
Lawnmower parents.
We will want to really clear the thought of mowing the lawn, clearing the pathway.
That's it.
Almost helicopter as well, isn't it? Because you kind of want to protect them, right?
It is actively changing their world to make their world, an inverted commas, safe.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Whereas helicopter parenting is more flying in to rescue them. This is actively getting ahead of the game, right? In case they... So we don't need to rescue them. Well...
What happens when they're older? What happens when they're 12, 13, 16, 18?
20.
And, you have to face something.
Yeah.
How do they handle it then?
Now, let's pause there and go, we understand that it is the role of the parent to protect the child.
No question. All right,
so we're not talking about saying to your five-year-old, yeah, look, go and play on the highway.
Sure.
And you'll learn why you shouldn't. there has to obviously be some framework of protection around our children.
But that's around safety. Is that right?
That's correct.
Here's a box of matches.
And look, I would also say mental safety. You know, part of our role as parents is as the adult to determine what is an appropriate experience that our child should be exposed to. Right? That's part of that. You know, we talked last time about the ways that we parent. So, you know, as a parent of a five-year-old, I need to determine, so let's use a very common example, I need to determine, is this show that my five-year-old wants to watch appropriate for him or her to watch? That is part of our role as the protective parent.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But what's happened is the pendulum has swung all the way out to the extreme where what we have are more and more parents who want to stop any sort of distress in their child's life.
And that it could be anything.
Anything, right? Now, the research, as I said, shows that when you do that, our children stop developing what's called an internal locus of control. In other words, inside of them, they do not develop skills for them to internally handle distressing situations. And you're right.
Yeah.
Think about that as they go into high school.
Absolutely.
As they go into, you know, now our year 12s in a few weeks are facing, you know, one of the major academic distressing situations for most of them
of
their life. That's exactly right.
A lot would be doing mocks now.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So if we take away those opportunities for our children to internalize the ability to deal with distressing situations, again, within the common sense of parenting, then we are doing them a huge injustice. We are denying them something that will be incredibly important to them. You know, so it's just, it's just a really interesting situation that I'm starting to see.
Well, I'm just going to read. We've got some messages coming through before we go to a break. Thank you, Chelsea from South Guildford says, we had a very similar situation with our six-year-old son, which is as a result of viewing something distressing and smelly to him. He ended up shaking and crying as a result, and it was subsequently made him extremely reactive and sensitive to smells. I can't even make dinner without him reacting to what he is smelling. I'm not sure that that had helped him build resilience, but it's exactly what you started with a little while ago.
Yeah.
It's almost an identical situation.
So it may be. So my question back to Chelsea would be to say, okay, how are you going to help him develop the skills internally to deal with something like that in the future? Right? So the lawnmower helicopter parent will go, well, we're never going to allow him to be exposed to that again. Okay. Now, I would suggest that that's not the way to go. The way to go is to ask, okay, how can we gradually expose him to similar but not exactly the same and not as intense situations in a gradual process? So let me give you an example, right? A child has a really bad experience with a dog. And from that point on, the child is scared of any dog.
Happens a lot.
It does happen a lot. Yeah. Absolutely, right? So, but do we want that child to spend the rest of their life being scared of dogs? Well, no. We want to, in some way, help them to get over that. So how can you do that? Well, you do what's called laddering, right? So what you do is you might spend a couple of weeks reading them stories about dogs,
right,
where the dog is the hero.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
You might start taking them out where they can be in the car, but look into a park where there are children and adults playing with dogs.
Right.
So you understand that ladder concept. So the idea is start them off on a really small step, but it's got to do with dogs.
Yeah.
And then gradually move them to where you want them to go. Because each step on the ladder builds resilience in dealing with this anxiety about dogs.
Great analogy, Graeme. Hey, Chelsea from South Guildford, thanks for chiming in there. Let us know your thoughts. 0429 985 985. I'm learning a lot today. Laddering.
There you go.
Hadn't heard of that. And I hadn't heard of lawnmower parenting either.
Me neither.
We should take a break. Back after this one. Pink and Willow there, Cover Me in Sunshine. You are on 98.5 Weekdays with Mike. Graeme Irvine is in the studio. We have been talking about resilience. Great topic.
Yeah.
Lawn mower parenting. I've learned something new today.
Well done. That's good. That's good.
So I know of two types, helicopter parents and lawn mower parents.
Yep, and we probably don't want to be either of those.
No.
But again, you know, it's, I think one of the texts came through that, you know, that often it's a fine line between, you know, good parenting and going over the top and so on. So
totally.
So it is difficult. You know, I recognize that. And, you know, quite frankly, for some parents who have anxiety themselves, it becomes even more difficult. Now, I'm not that sort of person. Okay. I don't get anxious about things particularly. That doesn't mean I don't ever, but not particularly. But there are some people that's their default position. And they tend to parent out of that default position, right? And I'm just suggesting to them, you just need to think a little more carefully. Because I think we said right back many weeks ago, Mike, when we opened this whole area of anxiety, I said to you that research shows that 70% of anxiety that children have is caught.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
That it's modeled to them by the adults in their life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I remember a parent that did our No Scaredy Cats program back last term.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And she came and spoke to Gay and I afterwards and said she has struggled all her parenting time not to pass on the anxiety that she grew up with.
Right.
Because her mother parented her in a way that left her with significant anxiety. And, wow. and I get that that's really important. You know, there are clinical issues that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
I'm not a clinician.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking general parenting and just using our common sense to recognise that our children need to develop those skills.
Yeah, sure. Hey, we've got a quick call before you head off, Graham. Good morning, Merrin from Baldivis. You got a comment to make this morning?
Yeah, good morning, Mike and Graham.
Hey, Merrin.
I send a message in with regards to the last person who asked a question about the child having the adverse reaction to the smells. And just wanted to comment about the first thing I'd be wanting to know is whether this is a child who's neurotypical or neurodivergent, because I feel like if there could be any aspect of sensory processing dysfunction at play, it may almost need to be approached in a different way.
Yes. Yes, and
thanks, Merrin.
That's exactly right.
From good point, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, and that's you know, there are clinical issues that do need to be explored.
Yes,
and if that's something that's a part of the behaviour that's going on, then you need to deal with that in a clinical way. Most of what I deal with, however, is just about parenting.
Yes,
You get fairly good at recognizing that, actually, hang on, there's some clinical issues involved here, and we need to have more of an expert to come into that. But yeah, it is one of those things that I'm seeing more and more, and I just think, oh my goodness, how is that setting up this 5-year-old or this 8-year-old for when they're 14 or 16 or whatever?
Later in life.
It just is a bit scary, Mike. There's a let me finish off with this, may I?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
So this is a quote from a book called The Coddling of the American Mind, which is, it's not necessarily an easy read, but it's well worth the effort, and looks at the change of culture in a lot of different ways. And they actually quote a developmental psychologist, Alison Gopnik, and she says this. She says, by shielding children from every possible risk, we may lead them to react with exaggerated fear to situations that aren't risky at all, and isolate them from the adult skills that they will one day have to master.
I love that. That is a great quote. We might throw that up on our website
today.
Graham, we are out of time. I've learning a lot of new words today. Neurotypical and laddering and also lawnmower parenting. We'll catch up in a couple of weeks, Graham.
Okay.
My
see you, mate.
Guest in the studio this morning has been Graham Irvine from Kingsway Christian College.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.